Good morning. The Bromley Buzz podcast is joined by the Rabbi of Bromley Reform Synagogue this morning. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Good morning. I'm Rabbi Laura Jana Klausner, and I love being the Rabbi of Bromley Synagogue.
And I love having been there, I might say. But I'm going to assume our audience knows less than I do about the synagogue and related matters. What is a rabbi, Laura?
Oh, that's a great question. A rabbi is like, more like an imam than a priest, because a rabbi is there as a teacher rather than any kind of spiritual conduit or connection with God. We very strongly believe that. First of all, you do not have to believe in God to be Jewish. Some people do, some people don't. Some people change their minds throughout their lives, which is what faith is about. We are just there to enable other people's lives to flourish, hopefully more, and to be alongside people in times of joy and sadness, and also just the bog standard day to day.
And you're from the Bromley Reform Synagogue. I assume this is as opposed to Orthodox. What does Reform, how does Reform differ from the Orthodox?
So we are completely egalitarian between men and women, from the point of view that in Orthodox, they will not allow women to lead services or read from the Torah. It's changed a little bit with feminism shaking them up, which is brilliant. I grew up Orthodox and left when I was 12 because of feminism. And in an Orthodox service, it is all in Hebrew. And we have English and Hebrew. And a total and utter equality, not just of men and women, but also people of all genders and also all sexualities.
Excellent. And what does a typical week's or period's worship look like for somebody of that faith?
Okay, so first of all, we're not a faith. We're a religious civilization, because people who don't believe in God are Jewish. It's much broader. We're a peoplehood. So we have a connection between a joint land, the land of Israel, language, which is Hebrew, sort of collective view of history, where we identify with other Jews throughout the millennia, and literature. So our lives are not about worship. Our lives are day-to-day Jewish lives, in how you act, what you learn, those of Jews who pray, how you pray. So it's not about worship. People do, at our synagogue, we're a community center. People come to learn, people come to hang out. And literally the word in Hebrew for a synagogue is a Beit Knesset, which means a house of getting together. Some people chat, some people study, some people teach, some people look after each other there, some people pray together. So I really want to break an idea that Jewish life is about worship.
Yeah, well, that brings me on nicely to what kind of activities do you do as a community? And I know when I was there, there was something which, from the Jews I know of, is very popular, food.
Yes. So eating together, and also, by the way, fasting together, is one expression of not only of the day-to-day and our needs to eat, but also ceremony. So we've just had Passover, the Seder, which is the meal. And those of you who are Christian or understand kind of Christian history and New Testament might be familiar with the idea of Jesus at the Last Supper before the crucifixion. That was, because Jesus was Jewish, the Passover meal. So in that meal, we take particular foods in order to embody and remind us of what was. It doesn't become something else. It's not at all like communion, but we have salt water to remind us of tears when the Jews and Israelites were slaves to the ancient Egyptians. So food is about celebration, it's about community, it's about feeding each other and also our community in food banks and so on. So we eat together, we look after each other. There's a social center for people who come together. They have lunch together and activities together. Generally older people, but not exclusively. There is a Sunday school where young people come to learn together. There are services on a every week on a Saturday morning on the Sabbath, and also on festivals, etc. Quite a lot of things that happen in our community also happen online, either that the services are streamed, so you can get that through YouTube, through Bromley Shul, Shul, which is a Yiddish, which is a Hebrew German language dialect. So some of them are streamed through the Bromley Shul, which is kind of like a nickname, really, YouTube channel. Or if we have meetings or even teachings, it's often on Zoom because we are a very, 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 very spread out community. People from the Thames down to, so Greenwich and Blackheath and so on, down to Sevenoaks and beyond, and from Croydon to Maidstone. So really, really big. So in order to enable, the most important thing for us is including people. It's not some fluffy value that you stick on your website that doesn't mean anything. Sorry, it's very grumpy of me. But people often use the word, we're welcoming, we're inclusive. Oh, we're inclusive, but actually not you. No, we are inclusive, which means that we try and include as many people, even when it's harder to do so, or maybe especially when it's harder to do so.
One of the things I enjoyed when I visited was that the Jewish sense of humor was present. So I was a fan of the late Jewish comedian Jackie Mason, who is literally hilarious. And so I saw a scroll, very large. Animal skin scroll, I think from the Torah, in there. And the person that introduced me it to me said, "Yeah, well, that's one of the lesser ones. It's not very good. The quality is not there." And I'm looking at this beautifully made thing that looks like it should be the word of God before me. No, it's not very good. So I enjoyed that part of being there as well. They're a very friendly lot at the Romney Reform Synagogue. And you mentioned
Thank
all
you.
the
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh, that's why I'm a PR. No, I'm not working for the Bromley Reform Synagogue. However, you did mention earlier on about not just your community in terms of internal, but also outwardly. And food bank, you mentioned in passing there as well. So what does the community of the Bromley Reform Synagogue do with other people?
So we're involved in interfaith in the Three Faiths Forum, which is really important to us, and particularly now that there's this absolutely terrible war going on in Israel and Gaza, we're having important discussions with our Muslim neighbours, and that is a sign of success that you can have those discussions when things are hard. I'm very, very grateful that people have put the leg and heart work in before now. This is, so what you sort of practiced before is tested now and is shows itself to have been brilliant in that way. Lots of people, I mean, it's a community where we live in the wider world. So it's not like saying, w w in what way is Bromley involved in the inverted commas outside community. We are the outside community. We all are. Who we work with, who we live with. We are very mixed, also mixture of Jewish, not Jewish couples. So we are the mixed society. It's not like we go out to the world and go, oh, hello. No, that's us.
Thank you. Now, you're a well-known broadcaster. and figure in the Jewish community nationally.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your own story?
Wow. Okay. Thank you. So I grew up in London, and I was very blessed to grow up in the house of a politician, a Labour Party member of parliament, and then a peer. So I grew up very having a very core value that life is about public service and about improving the situation for yourself and for other people. And so I grew up half in London, half in Leicester, in sort of really the poorest estates in the country. So that was very good for me. I grew up Orthodox and left in protest at the age of 12, because of the sexism. Although lots of about Orthodoxy I really love, but that just was like a slam dunk for me. And I'm a youth worker by training and a leadership trainer. I studied Christianity as my first degree. And then at 22, went to live in Jerusalem in Israel, where I taught and ran a leadership training institute for 14 years, and also ran the Christian Encounter Center with Israel, where lots of Christians come on coaches, get off the coach, go to I don't know, Beatitudes or Gethsemane or any of these lovely Christian sites, get back on the coach, go home. You're not really in Israel. So we did quite a lot of work there on enabling people to go to the Christian sites, but also to be in Israel and meet Israelis and Palestinians and so on. So that was good work. And then I also taught tour guides to be interesting because they can be really boring. And through that organization, I ran the Oslo peace process with a Palestinian partner, the People's Peace, which was dialogue between enemies. So it was at the time, and in many ways still now, unfortunately, that was in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories. That was amazing work. I have three kids, thank God, who were born in Israel, and one has gone back to live there and lives in Jerusalem, and a partner, David, who's lovely. Count my blessings every millisecond with him. He's so nice, and tolerant of me. And we came back to the UK about 20 years ago. I studied to be a rabbi, which takes 5 years. And I ran a large congregation in Northwest London, 3,500 people. And was going through a hard time. And myself and two other really good men, we turned it around. That was cool. And then I was senior rabbi for Reform Judaism for 9 years, which involved, I don't know, being the figurehead. I was the only woman who ran a religious stream in the country, which doesn't say anything about me, but it's quite shocking about the rest of life. There was one little window in time when there were five of us who did that one way or another, but most of the time it was just me, which was a shame. That was a mixture of being the sort of chief executive, figureheady, fundraisery person. Now lots of broadcasting. But I really, 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 really missed being a real rabbi and community and what we call hatch, match, and dispatch, which is basically hatch babies. I mean, not myself. Match, which is weddings, and dispatching, which is funerals, which is actually my most cherished part of my job by a long way. Love being alongside people when it's hard. So I left the job of senior rabbi and became the rabbi at Bromley. Hooray! And also, I am a business coach working mostly with male chief executives, leadership coach, but I also work in a firm that deals with sex abuse in religious communities, coaching their sex abuse in religious communities practice.
Gracious.
Or n
Going back
not so
to
gracious, actually. Yeah, it's
no
really
indeed.
awful.
I'm going to pretend that you're on a sort of microcosm of Desert Island Discs. I don't know if you've been on it, and if you haven't, I hope you do get to go on it.
Thank you. That would be lovely.
would you care to name one or two of your favorite music tracks or bands?
Yes, I'm a big fan of Lady Gaga. So Marry the Night is a very important song to me about leaning into when it's hard. My cousin is Leonard Cohen, second cousin. So I very much love Leonard's cousin Leonard's Hallelujah, and where he also sings a song that is an adaptation of the liturgy from the Day of Atonement, when he sings "Who by Fire," you know that song is absolutely beautiful. I love a lot of requiems because I sing choral, or sang choral when I was younger, and when I get a chance, I'll have another go, but not for many years, I think. But if I need uplift, I will go for Gaga. Gaga
And
every day.
yeah. They on Desert Island Discs, they also ask for a staple item that you might take to your island and a luxury. What would that be?
A staple item will be my husband, and a luxury would be something to keep me warm. I really am weedy, or let's say it differently. I get very cold. And when everybody else is in t-shirts, I'm still like today, I'm in thermals and an extra jumper. So it's something to keep me warm because deserts, people have a fantasy they're lovely and warm and sunny, but at night they're freezing. So something to keep you warm.
I think you may have to combine them. I think the staple husband may be bending the rules of Desert Island Discs a bit.
It is,
You're going to
but
have to
not
settle
of the
for.
Bromley Buzz.
No, that's true. But otherwise, you'd have to just have a cuddle with him to make
Oh,
up
bless
for it.
him. That's
Yeah.
true.
Tell me, are there any things that the Bromley Reform Synagogue needs and that would help it?
That's a very beautiful question. Thank you. One of the things that's very unusual about our synagogue, and I experienced this when I was senior rabbi, is a lot of the synagogues that are not in places where there are more Jews feel that the synagogue will die and what will happen about the future generation. What's very, very, very special about Bromley is it doesn't live in this feeling of lack or paucity. So I think a lot of other synagogues our size, which is a medium-sized synagogue, would say, oh, we need continuity. And so I just want to say what we don't need is that sense of hope, because no one ever expresses that. And I'm continually amazed. It's very special. What do we need? Just what any community needs, carrying on, enjoying what we are. You know, there are Jews moving south of the river. So that's lovely. We need to live in joy and safety with our neighbours. The feeling at the moment of, you know, there's an increase in anti-Semitism. There have been different incidents, particularly that our young people have had at school, basically from sort of channeled mean ignorance. Whereas in the past you would have called somebody something sort of homophobic, now you call them something Jewish, which is, yeah. But on the whole, people have super relations with people who aren't Jewish around us. What do we need? I wouldn't mind some new insulation. God, it's cold in that building. Just, but you know, they're wonderful. And the level of volunteering is off. It's also, you know, off the scale. We need just to live as happy, bog standard people.
Thank you. Well, that brings me to the close of this. And I have something actually special for the end of this particular interview, because I had the privilege of meeting the late Ziggy Schipper, a Holocaust survivor who had been in Auschwitz and elsewhere from age 10 to 15. And he gave a talk at the
5 years he survived in Auschwitz. I mean, what does that take for a young person? You just, how much cold, how much lack of calories, that's not English, but I don't care, how much typhoid around you. I mean, you're just like, how does someone survive one day? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I think that's a good interruption. I can't imagine what he went through. I
Yeah,
don't
thank
want to.
God. And you shouldn't have to ever. Yeah, of course.
But in meeting him, I managed to do a very small recording. So I got and use occasionally an introduction to the podcast. So I have a slightly confused Ziggy Shipper saying, my name is Ziggy Shipper. Welcome to the Bromley Buzz podcast. I did something similar with you. But the more important thing is, I recorded his mantra, and I'm going to finish this interview with that. Ziggy Shipper, despite what he went through, his message was don't hate. And it's better hearing it from him than it is from me. So I'm going to pass it over to Ziggy.
Whatever you do, do not hate. Hate is the worst thing that can happen to you. If you don't like somebody, say hello, goodbye, and that's it. But don't hate. The worst thing there is hating people. Why could you?
Okay.
Just don't do it.